Oh, and that's where we get like just this close to going into a full blown kick line extravaganza.
I don't know. I was going to begin to kick. I think
you have a nice extension.
Yeah, thank you.
I see that. I didn't see that coming. You got kind of Rockette legs, though.
I guess I do.
Hi, my beautiful Broadway friends. It's your Broadway buddy Ben Cameron. You are listening to a very special edition of Playbill Presents the Broadway Cast. As I'm joined by one of the stars of the new revival of M. Butterfly, Miss Clea Alsip.
Yeah. Yay! Oh, thank you.
M. Butterfly, directed by Julie Taymor, starring Clive Owen, and you play the character of Renee.
I do.
Just opened here in New York. This was the Broadway debut.
This is my Broadway debut.
Can you take me through the moment you get the call that you're going to be on Broadway and through like actually doing opening night?
Yeah, I will.
Jump right to it, Clea.
Let's go right in there.
Let's dive in.
I like it.
Uh-huh.
Starting with that music. I mean, it gets you in the mood
to talk
about Broadway. So I found out back in March, actually, because this is an updated version of the original play, they cast us all back in March so that we could do a workshop with David and Julie and Clive. Clive was there as well. The whole cast was there in April. So that was just lovely. I knew quite a ways in advance, which doesn't always happen. So I got to plan for this exciting time. We went in for the workshop. Everyone was just wonderful. You could tell from the get that this was a really good group of people.
Yeah.
And we worked on the play. We really got into the characters.
There's a lot in there.
There's a lot in there. And David, a lot more has come out about the true story of this, because it's all based on a true story of a French diplomat who had a 20-year affair with a Chinese opera singer. And more has come out about that since it was on Broadway in the 80s. And so David wanted to include a lot more of the truths of that story and of that relationship. And so he reworked the entire play, and we were part of that workshop in April.
Oh, wow.
So we all got to know each other then. He went over the summer. We took time off, and he did a few more rewrites, and we came into rehearsals and pretty much got on our feet right away because we'd done that text work and that table work in April. So we were able to jump right into it. It's a lot. I play Renee as well as a couple other characters, which is really fun to do. There are the two leads are played by wonderful actors, and then there are five of us who play sort of everyone else in their life.
Create the world in which we live.
Exactly, exactly. And we, you know, have like eight costumes and seven different hair looks, and we get to jump in and out.
And if I was a betting man, I would guess that these are some pretty intense costumes.
They are. They're wonderful. I mean, the wigs are amazing.
And
the costumes
Tamarland.
Are stunning. Yeah, and they just fit in with the whole visual aspect of Tamarland, if you will. It's really stunning to get to do. It was so much more than I expected, even, because everyone was so wonderful.
Were you pinching yourself on opening night? I mean, kid dreams of this.
Yeah, opening night. Honestly, my biggest moment was that first preview. So first preview night, where somehow it all becomes a reality, and for the first time you have that audience, and there's 1,100 people on their feet at the end clapping for you. That was amazing. I mean, it's overwhelming and beautiful. You do this work and you create a piece of art you really believe in with these incredible people, and the audience sees it and gets it and is there for you wholeheartedly. That was amazing.
Yeah.
And so opening night was just a culmination of 3 weeks of that and getting used to it and feeling that love, and it was even more special. But that first initial hit was that first preview. I wasn't prepared for it.
Yeah.
You're like overcome with that emotion of, oh my God, this is happening. And
you can tell me, did you cry a little bit?
I totally teared up. I'm the kind, though, that when I go see like Friends in Broadway shows, I always cry at curtain call. There's something about it that in me, it's like going to a wedding where you just are so filled with joy for this person. Something about them being people, having seen the trajectory that they've done and taking that bow, that really moves me. So yes, when I was up there too, I was like, holy moly, it's me.
This is me in my life.
Congratulations
on that.
Thank you.
I'm making the Broadway debut.
Thank you.
We like to have a little bit of fun here. year.
Great.
At the Broadway cast to start off with. And since you are a very serious dramatic actress, we wondered if you'd be so kind as to give us a dramatic reading of a particular monologue.
Great.
Yes. That may or may not be from Hamilton.
Wonderful.
Do you accept this challenge?
I accept the challenge.
We prepared a lyric sheet for you, and this is a little bit of Satisfied. From Hamilton. Are you familiar with the Hamilton?
I am. The Hamilton?
Yes, I am.
Sports.
This is
the
a
Hamilton.
Dramatic reading of Satisfied with Miss Clea Alsip, everyone.
Great.
There you are.
I remember that night. I just might regret that night for the rest of my days. I remember those soldier boys tripping over themselves to win our praise. I remember that dreamlike candlelight, like a dream that you can't quite place. But Alexander, I will never forget the first time I saw your face. I've never been the same. Intelligent eyes in a hunger-paying frame. And when you said hi, I forgot my dang name. Set my heart aflame, every part aflame. This is not a game.
Oh, my God. Clea Alsip with the dramatic reading.
Thank
Hamilton.
You. I just went there.
But you totally went there. I felt a little emotional.
Thanks. I'm glad. Me too.
That was incredible. Thanks. Wow. I'm just take a moment to like breathe and still be gay and all that stuff. I love what you were talking about just moments ago before I put you through this Iron Man.
Lovely Iron Man.
Yeah. Obstacle course of drama right there. But you're talking about how much fun it is to go see people accomplish something in their lives. So we like to start at the beginning. Can you tell me a little bit about what were your earliest influences? And you say you're from Oklahoma.
I am.
Oklahoma gal.
Oklahoma.
Uh-huh. And tell me like when you first watched something happen on stage and said, I want to do that.
That's a great question. I remember coming to New York when I was 10 with my mom, and I watched Les Mis. We went and saw Les Mis. And I remember turning to her at intermission, and I was like, I can do that. She was like, oh, you, okay. But I could. There was something about seeing these kids up there, they're around my age, being tough and fearless and having fun. And at that point, I had started acting in Tulsa when I was 7, the bright age of 7.
I love that.
I was driving. My mom's an obstetrician gynecologist.
Okay.
So very much not in the theater. We're driving along. We're listening
to it's a lot of drama. But
a lot of drama in its way.
The theater, yeah.
But different kinds. Mm-hmm. And we're driving along and we're listening to NPR on the radio as we did. And an advertisement came on like late September for auditions for Christmas Carol, the community theater version of the musical version of Christmas Carol.
You got to do it.
And I turned to my mom and I said, Mom, I know what I want for my birthday. And she's like, okay, what? I want to be on the stage. Literally a story that I told my mom.
Yeah.
So she was like, well, yeah. I don't know that I can make that happen, but you want to go to these auditions? I was like, yes, I do. Well, do you know what an audition is? You have to like go up in front of people. You're going to have to sing a song. Okay. Oh, okay. You want to do that? Yeah. Take me. Yeah. So we went and I booked Caroler number 2.
Woof, woof.
And it was really exciting for me.
Yeah, for sure.
And I continued to be in that for several years. And I played Susan in Miracle on 34th Street
when I
was
did.
10. So right around the Susan time when my ego was getting big as my 10-year-old self is when I saw Les Mis and was like, I want to be doing that. But yeah, I tried not to, I acted all through high school.
What were some of the big roles in high school?
My boyfriend and I were asked to do Romeo and Juliet. He was also an actor in Tulsa Theater.
They picked that just for you.
Yeah, they kind of did. They did this Shakespeare in the Park every summer. And the summer before I had played Ophelia in Hamlet and at 16. And then the next summer they were like, you know, we would do Romeo and Juliet next year if you two want to play Romeo and Juliet. So we signed on. It was very dramatic because we actually had ended up breaking up before then because he'd gone off to college and it was a whole thing, but we did it anyways.
Oh my gosh. For the art.
For the art.
Yeah.
For the art. It was very dramatic.
Uh-huh.
So those were my big two. And then I went off to undergrad and I was an international relations major at Stanford University.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm, I was.
Holy Moses.
I was, yeah. For me, going to Stanford was always sort of a dream, and getting out of Oklahoma was honestly the biggest
dream.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And that led me to do that. And I loved my time at Stanford. And
So Clea, when you were at Stanford, did you put the acting on the shelf for a moment?
I did not. In the sense sense of academically, I was not studying theater, but I was in all of the plays on the side. So any sort of student-run plays. I did a lot of musicals at Stanford. And I ended with a double major because in my junior year, a professor was like, you know, if you just take a couple extra classes and do a couple extra things, you can get that double major since all of my sort of extracurriculars had been in drama.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
So I ended with the double major.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. And then it was off to New York City. And
basically, I knew by my junior year, I was like, wow, when I really think about what I want to do, I want to give this a shot. And so I applied to grad schools in my senior year, not thinking I'd get in. I was like, OK, if I'm going to go start auditioning, I better get my pieces together.
Uh-huh.
And
sure.
Auditioning for grad school make me do that and give me an audition experience. So I put four pieces together and a song and went off to San Francisco where they all come. And I ended up getting into several places, one of which was NYU grad,
right.
Which when I walked into for the
amazing.
Final callback, I felt at home and
oh, wow.
very much fell in love with it and the program. And when I got accepted, I was like, well, I guess this is what I'm doing. I wasn't expecting to go to more school. It wasn't part of my plan.
That's
again,
a lot
I auditioned not thinking.
To get in the master's
yeah, it was
NYU.
There was something about it that was just like, you better do this. And
yeah.
it changed my life. I think NYU's program is stunning and it makes you a better human being.
Mm.
And I don't think you can be a good actor without knowing yourself fully, without owning yourself as a full human being. And
sure.
I think that's what the master's program and NYU grad gave me, which was so incredible.
and then you've gone on to have all this Broadway success
yeah,
and now making the Broadway debut.
I know, yeah.
We call that living the dream.
I really am. It's,
yeah.
It's sometimes shocking. This like little gal from Oklahoma is living the dream.
Yeah.
I really am.
I love that stuff.
I'm
and
so
I love
lucky.
That our listeners get to hear that.
Thank you.
Because
yeah,
there are little
too.
Girls in Oklahoma or in Wyoming who are going to hear that and go, I'm going to do Christmas Carol. And
yeah.
that moment may be the tipping point for them to say, I can.
Yeah.
You know?
And you never know what your path is going to look like. Your path is going to be very different than someone else's. And so just trust your path and trust those doors that open for you that you weren't expecting and didn't plan to go down. But go down them. If the door
yeah.
is open, go down the path.
Walk
you know?
In the door and say yes.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the show, about
yeah.
M. Butterfly, and obviously Clive Owen, very
mm-hmm.
exciting, Julie
mm-hmm.
Taymor, very exciting. But I'd also like to talk about how timely the subject matter is.
Very.
You know, gender identity has become
Oof.
Such a hot-button topic
mm-hmm.
In the last couple of years internationally,
mm-hmm.
and you said that David Henry Hwang rewrote mm-hmm. a lot of this for today's audience.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me a little bit about why this is relevant today.
I think it's relevant in so many ways. I think that absolutely we talk about gender fluidity and gender identity in much different ways. So it really explores a person's relationship with that and how that could happen back in the 1960s in China. But beyond that, this play deals so much with male dominance over female submissiveness. And I think that we are in the height of understanding and being able to communicate about that aspect, which crosses all gender lines. We can all understand what that is. And it's so exciting to finally be able to talk about that in a lot of ways. And this play brings that to the forefront. There's a character, Mark, played by Murray Bartlett, who's just wonderful. He was in Looking, and he's one of my favorite humans. I love him
so much. Who do you play in Looking?
He played Dom, the older one with the mustache.
Of course. Oh, no, yeah. I know exactly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Tell him I said hi.
He's the best. I will.
And then my address says beep, 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 beep.
I definitely remember, right? He's dreamy as
yeah,
well.
For sure.
But he very much plays this, you know, ball busting, the stereotypical male with how you push your other male buddies to do various things to women, right? Women are very much subjugated and lesser in his mind, and having affairs is nothing, and using women as sexual objects is nothing. And that is a mentality that a lot of men in America struggle with. Struggle is maybe the wrong word. Some they're not open to the fact that it is even a struggle, in my opinion. And
yeah.
you're able to see that here. I think Gallimard, Clive Owen's character, very much is struggling against that male-dominated voice that's in his head. You watch him wrestle with that. So it gets to those gender identities on so many levels. And yeah. also with that masculine masculine dominance over female submission, you get the Western masculine over the Eastern submissive, which wow. everything that's happening with North Korea right now, it could not be more pertinent in how we want to use our big guns to intimidate them. And I don't think that that is the way to go around diplomacy and policy.
Sure.
And we have a lot of talk about Vietnam and everything that happened with Vietnam. And you can see so many parallels with exactly what's happening right now in our administration.
Yeah.
So there's so many layers that make it so important.
Like, and it sounds like it's super, super timely. And I love that. Have you gotten any responses? You've heard from people who have seen the show. They're like, I'm thinking in a different way now because of this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it. What I love about the show is it makes you think. It doesn't handhold you through it. It makes you engage in metaphor and engage in storylines and engage in the confusion that is brought up because of love and because of these, you know, we as... there's a sexual politic that we all have to deal with in our lives. And how does that manifest? And how do we want to let that affect us and affect our partner? And where do we stand up for ourselves and where do we not? So there are so many deep, complicated layers to this story that you get to take away however it affects you. And I think it affects different people in very different ways.
It just seems kind of custom made in so many ways to be at this time.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think so.
Talk to me a little bit about working with the great Julie Taymor. What's the wildest Julie Taymor story you have?
I just love her. I love everything about her. I think that her vision is extraordinary and her passion. It's unending. My favorite thing about Julie is she will go from rehearsal for an hour and a half directing, giving notes. She's so, as she watches it, she mouths along and she's, you know, thinking of things and she stops you to give you an adjustment here. And it just feels like she's always right. Her brain is just seeing this in a way that you can't even quite fathom. And then we'll go on our 10-minute break and she comes over to the actors or people she maybe hasn't just been working in a scene with and checks in. How are you? Isn't this beautiful? Are you excited? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? She's never off. She never turns into her cell phone or turns into herself. She is this extrovert in a beautiful way. And in my mind, is a genius. I mean, her work is truly beautiful. And she goes for something unique that makes you think, that engages you on so many levels. It's really exciting. And watching her work in a room for a month was so inspirational.
Yeah.
As a woman, she really knows how to stand up for herself and knows how to make her points heard and is not the submissive in any way.
Oh, golly, no.
And I love that. I love it.
Yeah. And give me a little nugget about Clive.
Clive is
dreamy.
Where
do you begin?
Where do I begin? He's so dreamy on so many levels.
Yeah.
He's kind and generous and so handsome. And he came in on day one 100% off book. Which is just amazing.
And speaks
as
to
you
his
see,
dedication to this.
Yes. As you see, he speaks a lot on that stage. So he came in prepared. And that set a level of professionalism for all of us from the get. Yeah.
All right, Clive's off book.
Exactly.
We gotta go.
And truly, I didn't see anyone hold pages. In between, there was some looking and going over and will you run this with me? But when you got on your feet to work, no one was holding pages. We were ready to work. But that was all Clive, in my opinion, right? Clive came in ready to work. But he would
set that standard.
Yeah, exactly. But he'd still crack jokes and tell hilarious stories and anecdotes all the time. So it was a light, fun room as well.
Which it could go the other direction too, with
exactly.
the subject matter involved.
Exactly. And it never did.
Let's go out of the M Butterfly world for just a moment and talk about your web series.
Yes.
Friend Therapy. Talk to me about Friend Therapy, because we just talked about kind of acting training as being a form of therapy.
It is. And it's getting to know yourself. And funny enough, I think these two women in Friend Therapy do come through to understand more about themselves, but there's a lot of blockages to that discovery. It is about two best friends who, after the 2016 political climate and political election have to face some truths about themselves that they maybe didn't want to face. And
holy
it leads
moly.
To some awkward, potentially disastrous moments.
Oh, Cleo, you are all up in it.
Yeah,
you are
I
up
know.
Into the
I know.
Zeitgeist.
I am.
I like
think
it.
One of my best friends, Vella Lavelle, is who I created it with. And she's in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, a series regular on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and The Big Sick she was recently in.
Okay.
And she's just wonderful. And we didn't know how to take our anger and anxiety after the recent election. Mm-hmm. We were thinking, what can we do and how can we frame this? And this idea popped in our head of how to do that. And we are really proud of the outcome. We created it with a director friend of ours, Amanda Charlton, who was wonderful. So it's this female-driven content dealing with so many fears and anxieties that we have, and we really get into it, which is exciting.
How many episodes are
we have? 10. Three-minute episodes.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
to
so
dive
you can
into
watch the whole thing in 30 minutes. We shot it all in 2 days.
Oh, wow.
Which was incredible. We just sort of went for it. We found the time. There were literally 3 days where I was free and Vella was free, so we made it work. We had 1 day of pre-production and planning, actually in person. We'd done a bunch, you know, behind the scenes, emails and whatnot. But 1 day on the set, figuring it out, and 2 days shooting. Yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah, and it comes out November 7th.
How exciting.
The year of his election. Mm-hmm. The year anniversary his election, November 7th. So
very clever.
We're excited to share it with everyone.
That is super exciting. Yeah. Everybody who's listening to this, make sure that you tune in to Friend Therapy.
Yeah.
And we're running out of time, but I wanted to ask you, Clea, because you mentioned your auditions for Christmas Carol as a kid and having to even for your master's.
Yes.
What's the song that you sang when you auditioned?
Oh, well, for my master's, it was a little bit of the Wild Party. Because
L'Accusa or Lipa?
The Lipa. Uh-huh. The Lipa Wild Party. Mm-hmm. It's true.
Which song?
It was not Look at Me Now, but the other one.
Life of the Party.
Oh, yes. It was Look at Me Now, not Life of the Party. Party. That's
no, but
it.
I get that.
Yeah, yeah.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
That's an excellent one. That's a
Are
big
you probing
song.
Me to sing a little bit
I
of
am.
It right now?
Would you do it?
Yeah, let me. Yes.
Oh my gosh. I didn't think I was going to make this happen, but it's happening.
I was born in a ditch in West Virginia. I ran away from home at 10. I crawled right out of that ditch and holy cow. Just take a look at me now.
Yes, Mama.
I've been learning a trade. I've swung that more than just a couple of men. I did it a little low. I've been pillowed and paid for. Whoa, whoa, wow. Woo! Just take a look at me now.
Yay! That's a look at me now, which is even more off center.
Yeah,
show.
I guess so. Yeah,
that makes me really excited.
And
well,
me and my life right now—it's a crazy thing.
It's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely fascinated by you,
and thank you.
And I love the passion that you have for the projects that you're working on.
Thank you.
I'm very hopeful that people will tune in to watch Friend Therapy.
Me
and
too.
I can't wait
me
to see
too.
You in the
but
show.
And come see Butterfly.
Yes.
Exactly. It's all timely. It's all political. It's all relevant.
Well, you're an absolute joy.
Thank you.
Congratulations on
you
everything.
You too. Thank you so much.
This is the wonderful Clea Alsop, everybody. And of course, this has been your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, saying to y'all, that's for Oklahoma. Have
you,
a great
thank
show.
Thank you so much. Thanks, guys.
Can't get enough of the Broadway cast? Well, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio. And while you're at it, follow us on all social media platforms at The Broadway Cast.